One of the most drastic changes that takes place in the life of a converted person is this. They become teachable. That's a drastic change. The same thing will happen to all mankind in the world tomorrow. They will become teachable. For the first time in history, human beings as a whole will then be teachable. That is a total turnaround. It's hard to fully comprehend the importance of that statement, that a human being actually comes to the point in their life to where they are teachable about God's way, and that the whole world will come to a point in their life when they are teachable about God's truth. That is as drastic a change that can take place in the mind of a human being that I know about. Now, you and I have been called and chosen, and therefore God expects us to be learning to be teachable. So, are we developing a teachable attitude? I believe we have a teachable attitude, but are we developing it further? I mean, being truly teachable. David had to learn this, and he came to a point in his life where he was one of the most teachable people in history. He was a man after God's own heart. That's how teachable he was. And look what he said over here in Psalms chapter 16 and verse 11. Psalm 16 and verse 11. You will show me the path of life. See, show me. You will show me. It wouldn't have made any difference for God to show David the path of life if he wasn't teachable. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. If we're teachable. If when God shows us that path of life, we then follow that path of life, there's fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And I want you to really take note of the next verse that we're going to. Mr. Herbert Armstrong said that this verse should be memorized. I hope that we will all memorize it. It's really an important verse. It's found over here in Psalms chapter 25. Psalms chapter 25 and verse 4. And we sing this in one of the hymns in our hymn book. Notice here in Psalms 25 and verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Do you think anyone whose mind has not been opened and they're just going their own way will comprehend anything God shows them and anything God teaches them? No. Why? Because they're not teachable. This verse has meaning only to those who have come to the point in their life to where they're teachable. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Verse 5, Psalms 25. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day. Brethren, I hope in our prayers, on our knees before our great God, when we are pouring out our heart to him, we ask him, please teach me. Please show me. Please help me to comprehend and understand. And please give me a teachable attitude so that I get the point quickly. You don't have to just crush me in order to make the point. But I'm so teachable and I'm so tuned in and I'm so responsive to you, I get the point right away. And teach me. Please teach me. That's so important to have that attitude. You know, if your children come to you and in a very respectful way tell you that they love you and they ask you, can you please teach me how to do this? Can you please teach me how to do that? Can you please teach me what I should do in this case and what I should not do in that case? And I sincerely want you to teach me. Please teach me. What a wonderful thing that would be when a parent has a child that comes with that attitude. When that attitude is there, they'll teach them everything they can and everything they know. I want us to go through some of the qualities you will always find in a person who has a teachable attitude. You'll find these qualities in every case. And there are more, but we won't have time to list them all. And I want us all to examine ourselves and honestly take a look to see if we have these qualities and if we are developing them even further. These are very, very important qualities, and they are always found and someone who has a teachable attitude. Number one, you will find that a person who has a teachable attitude always wants to learn. This is an individual who wants to learn. They strongly desire to learn. Sometimes they even crave it. They have an insatiable appetite for learning. They're excited about it. They have a keen sense of intellectual curiosity. They want to learn. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Look how important this is. Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They're just hungry for it. They're thirsting for it. They want more understanding of righteousness. They want to learn. They want to be taught. They want to comprehend what righteousness is and how they can have more of it. The more of it they can have, the better. Not self-righteousness, but the righteousness of God. And Jesus Christ says, if they have that attitude that they're hungry and thirsty, and they're craving, and they deeply, strongly want to learn about it, they're going to be filled. Turn with me now to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 3. Regarding knowledge and understanding, here's someone who is teachable. They want to learn. They want to learn it so much, they'll do this. Proverbs 2 and verse 3. Yea, if you cry after knowledge, if you lift up your voice for understanding. Please, Father, help me to understand more fully what you want me to understand. To think the way you think. To have the mind of Jesus Christ. Please help me to be teachable. Verse 4. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures. I've seen people who first come into the church and now they're learning the truth. And they sit down to do their Bible study. They'll have a translation here and another translation here. And they'll have an article over here. And they'll have maybe a Bible dictionary over here. And they'll have their pen out and their paper. And boy, I mean, they are seeking that knowledge of the Sabbath, that knowledge of the holy days, of repentance, of baptism, of the purpose in life, the knowledge about the doctrines. And you know what? When they have that approach and they're seeking it as silver and searching for it as for hid treasure and they are teachable, they're going to find it. Look what it says here, verse 5. Then shall you understand the fear of the Eternal and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And he won't turn us down. He won't back off from us. He won't turn a deaf ear to us. When we're crying out to him for understanding, when we're crying out to him for knowledge, and when we're seeking it like we'd seek silver and gold. All of us have probably lost our keys. Boy, we start looking for those keys, don't we? And we'll turn anything we need to upside down to find those keys. Well, if God sees that same hunger and thirst and that same yearning in us for learning his truth and about him, and acquiring his knowledge with that attitude of being teachable, he's going to respond to that. A teachable individual wants to learn. Number two, I've noticed this. Someone with a teachable attitude will listen intently. They will listen intently. They will give their full, undivided attention to what's being taught. They're all eyes, they're all ears. They are focused. They concentrate on what is being said. Different people go about this in different ways regarding their children and school. With our children, the main thing we did in teaching our children about school, we taught them to have a tremendous interest in learning, to want to know the answers. And then, number two, we taught them to listen. We knew that if they really wanted to learn, and then they would listen intently to what was being taught, they would quickly learn the alphabet and multiplication tables and vocabulary words, and then you would always at home help them along in that way. But I think one of the best things that a parent can do is to bring their children along to where they'll be teachable and to where they want to learn, and then to where they will listen, pay attention. A lot of times I experienced this, and our children told us that they experienced it. They got good marks on a test because they listened carefully in class, and then the question was asked not over something they necessarily read in the book, but over something that was said by the teacher in class. A teachable person will listen. Now, listen means more than just hearing. You can hear something, but not really listen to what's being said. I'm talking about listening to what's being said. A teachable person will listen. Now they will listen. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9 and see an example of this. Acts chapter 9. Verse 3, we know this is the famous example of Saul on his way to Damascus, and he came face to face with the great teacher. It says here in Acts chapter 9 and verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, Acts 9 verse 4, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you persecutest. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks, or to resist, to argue, to be confrontational, to ignore, to reject the truth. And so what happened in verse 6? He began to listen, didn't he? Verse 6, Acts 9. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. Now he's all ears. Now he's giving his full attention to God. Now he's listening. He just wants to know what he's supposed to do now. He was brought to the point to where he's so teachable that he will listen. And look what God did in his life as a result of that. Before he wouldn't listen. Before he wasn't teachable. Look what a change took place. Same thing happened in the life of Job. Let's turn to Job 42. Job was a brilliant individual, but he had a problem with self-righteousness. He was told about it over and over again, but he never listened to it. He heard it, but he didn't listen. He didn't get the point. Notice Job 42. And then after a while, when he had finally been brought to near death, he became teachable. He started to listen. Job 42, 5, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Now I understand. I finally started listening, not just hearing, but listening. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now I'm ready to listen. Teach me. And God did, and he blessed him. And God will bless us if we listen. If we're so teachable that we really are intent on listening to what God tells us, to what he writes in his book, to what he says through his ministers. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 33. Look at the blessings here. Proverbs 1 and verse 33. But whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Look at that. I love that. These are tremendous blessings right here. Just notice, we live in a dangerous world. We live in an uncertain world. We live in a unpredictable world. If you leave God out of the picture, the future is kind of scary. And then it's going to get really, really rough on top of what it is right now. But God says here, whoso listens unto me, whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet or secure or at ease from fear of evil. A teachable person that listens. A good student. Third point. I've noticed that an individual with a teachable attitude will do their homework. They're diligent about it. They're teachable. They'll do their homework. And that's what we in God's church and as Christians need to do. We have to do our homework. Let's turn to Acts 17. I've been pastoring churches for a long time. Here's what I've seen over the years. I've seen some in the congregations that I pastored. Not all, but some in the congregations that I pastored and in the congregations that other ministers pastored came to church, and they didn't come to be taught. They came because it was some place to go. They came for the social aspect of it. They came to visit friends. Be honest with you, some of them came for the meal. And they didn't come to learn. They didn't come to listen. They weren't teachable. And they didn't do their homework. They would leave, and they may as well not even been there in terms of grasping what the message was all about and then translating it into action in their lives, and certainly did not follow up on it with homework. Didn't take notes at church and then didn't get home and study those notes and then didn't follow up with their homework. Here's some people who did, and we should. Acts chapter 17 and verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming there went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, it's not that they mixed and mingled with the Jews, but these synagogues quite often were public gathering places. The Jews might have owned them, they might have run them, they might have met there, but they also would allow other people to meet there, just like we can meet in various meeting halls. And so they met there, and there were probably some Jews there as well. Verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, teachable. And then what did they do? They searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They did their homework. And what was the result? Therefore, many of them believed. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. They searched the scriptures daily, not to catch the ministers, not to confront and argue and dispute with the ministers, but to confirm what they were told. It says to search to see if these things were so. I just want to confirm it. I just want to know for sure. I just want to compare with what the Bible says regarding what we were taught. And look what happened. They believed. They grew. We need to do our homework. We need to prove all things just to confirm it, just to really chisel it into our understanding and our mind. We need to talk about what is covered at services. Discuss it. Go back and look at the scriptures that we turn to. Tomorrow morning over breakfast, pass along to one another the lessons you caught in the sermonette and in the sermon. And maybe go look up a verse or two in some booklet by Mr. Armstrong. And maybe get a little background in a commentary. That's doing homework. And a teachable person will do that. They will do the homework that they're given and that they are assigned. Paul told Timothy to. Let's turn over here to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. And we tell our ministers to do this. And at the upcoming conference, I'll be going into it more. We have homework to do in the ministry in order to be equipped to serve the brethren and to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. It says here in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13, till I come, Paul told Timothy, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Study it, teach it, but learn it yourself. Neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Some translations say council of elders. Meditate upon these things. See? Think about the subject. Do some homework. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you shall both save yourself and them that hear you. Well, God is the only one who can save anybody. But a minister can have a real impact on the salvation of an individual, including their own. And extra study, extra research, following up, reviewing, and renewing what was taught as part of the homework and doing it diligently is all part and parcel with an attitude that you find in a person That's teachable. Fourth point I've noticed, a teachable person asks good questions. They ask good questions. Why do they do that? I'm not talking about questions that gender strife, questions that are designed to create an argument, questions that are just confrontational and obstinate and are not really sincere. I'm talking about good questions. Ask in a good attitude. They want understanding, a teachable person does. They want clarification. And as I've said repeatedly, and I'll say it again, we want questions. And when people have questions, we honor those questions. We respect those questions. We may never have heard that question before. We may have heard it some, and we may have heard it 1,000 times, but we're going to treat that question with respect if it's asked in a good attitude for the right reason. I know people who say, I'd like to ask this question, but they'd probably think I'm just silly. We won't think you're silly. If you read in the autobiography, Mr. Armstrong said he was known for asking questions, questions, questions. Well, there were 9 in our family, and I was the youngest of 9, and I had 5 sisters, and I asked lots of questions. I have to admit that sometimes I did it just being aggravating. But a lot of times I asked because I wanted to know. And I remember one day I was asking my sisters lots of questions. My brothers were off in the woods and fields working, and they got so tired of it. And I was sincere, and I was asking questions that I really wanted answers for. And I heard one or two of them go over to where my dad was working and said, would you please tell him to quit asking so many questions? And he said, answer his questions. That's how he's going to learn. Now, generally speaking, I was in a good attitude about that, but I must admit there was a little bit of yeah. Sorry about that. We want good questions from people who are sincere and who are asking for the right reason. We do. We never get tired of them. A teachable person will do that. You're going to have questions, let's face it. And when you're taught in a class, you're going to have questions. Ask the questions so you'll have the answers. Let's notice here in Acts chapter 8, Acts 8 and verse 27. I love reading about this particular event. This was about the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. Acts 8, verse 27, talking about Philip. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, all the money, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit, or God through the Spirit, said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. Go up there and talk to this man. And Philip ran there to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked him. And the man said, verse 31, he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Now, not just any man. You can be misled. I want to have some man from God who knows what he's talking about to teach me what this means. He had questions. How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip, he asked Philip, that he would come up and sit with him. For what? Well, to teach him. Verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. You'll find that in Isaiah chapter 53. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip. In other words, Philip asked him a question, so now the eunuch answers his question, and said, I pray you, of whom speaks the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? What does this mean? Who's he talking about? I'd like to know and understand what this all means here in this book of Isaiah, the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, taught him about Jesus Christ. That's who it's talking about here. And as they went on their way, probably discussing and talking and counseling and going into repentance and baptism and the purpose in life and all of that along the way, and this Ethiopian eunuch had probably been brought along and all of that fairly well even ahead of time. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, or a certain place of water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Can I be baptized? What's the reason why I can't be baptized? I'm ready for baptism. I believe all this. I've studied it. I've repented. I've prayed to God. I need to be baptized. What's keeping me from it? And Philip said, verse 37, if you believe with all your heart, you can. Do you believe this? Do you believe the truth? Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Have you repented? Are you ready to obey him? Are you going to put it all on the line? If you believe with all your heart, you can. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When you plumb the depth of that statement, it takes in a lot of matters. Verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. It says, let's stop right here. And they went down both into the water. Now, you don't go into the water if you're just sprinkling somebody. You don't go into the water if you just dab them. You don't go into the water if you just partially get them wet. You go into the water, both of them, and you immerse the individual. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, see? When they were come up out of the water, Philip went in there with the Ethiopian eunuch. He stood with him. He put him under. He totally immersed him, and he brought him back up again. And that all started with this man asking Philip some good questions. And he got some good answers. Let's stay in this book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. A teachable person asks good questions. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. This is after they heard Peter's powerful sermon on the day of Pentecost. And they were convicted. They were convinced. Probably a lot of these people had seen the apostles in person and seen Jesus Christ and heard him and watched him and seen the miracles, and they just hadn't been convicted yet, but they had pretty good knowledge of what he taught and this way of life and what he stood for and so on. And now they were brought to the point where they were convicted about what they'd heard. And look what they said in verse 37 of Acts 2. Now when they heard this, they were pricked or cut to the heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we do now? Where do I go from here? I have a question. I'm convinced. I'm convicted. I believe all this. I repented. Here's my question. Now what do I do? See, they were so teachable, they asked that question. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. And look what happened. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. It's a lot of people getting baptized. But it started with a question. What do we do now? A teachable person has good questions. Fifth point, you show me someone with a teachable attitude, and I'll show you someone that will admit when they're wrong. And they'll do it cheerfully. They're not going to blame somebody else. They're not going to come up with a lot of justification and a lot of excuses and qualifications, and they're not going to add addendums. They're just going to say, I'm wrong. You're right. I've had the wrong idea about this. I've had the wrong understanding about this. I now see it. Now I understand it. You are correct. I'm not correct. I have a problem. I'm wrong. I have a misunderstanding. I'm wrong. I've been mistaught. I want to be taught properly. A teachable individual will admit it when they're wrong. But not everybody's teachable. And therefore, not everybody will admit when they're wrong. In fact, Mr. Armstrong has said that's the hardest thing for an individual to do. To actually admit, I am wrong, period. No qualifications, no excuses, no justification, no blaming other people. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Now I want to get it right. That's a teachable attitude. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 2. Proverbs 21 and verse 2. Every way of a man, and I want to add woman there too, human being, it's human nature. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. We're right. Come on. We maintain our cause. We're convinced we know what we're talking about. We're right. That's human nature. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But the Eternal ponders the hearts. He goes a little deeper than that. He knows what's inside. He knows all the facts. If an individual is really easily entreated and easily instructed and has a teachable attitude, they don't have this attitude. I'm right. I know I'm right. I'm right. And will not change and will not face the facts and will not admit when they're wrong. They're pig-headed and stiff-necked. Have you ever seen a pig be pig-headed? It's just like a piece of granite. They're not easily herded around. Stiff-necked. You've known people that are stiff-necked. Proverbs 27 and verse 22. Can't teach them. It shows on their face. Proverbs 27 and verse 22. Though you should bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. He won't say he's wrong. You know, when I was in Guyana, one of the poorest countries I've ever been to, and as you go through that countryside and into Georgetown, you'll see poverty that's as bad a poverty as you'll see in any nation. And yet, you have some extremely intelligent people there. In fact, some of them are very well educated because all they have is the education they're given, and they're using that as their ticket out of that country to go to a more developed country. So they are very, very smart. And I went to a little shop, and I said, I just want some things that were made in Guyana by people from Guyana. Okay, sir, come right over here. And I saw some of the most beautiful carvings out of a special type of wood that they have in Guyana that's sought for around the world. It's a tree that's very hard, plus they put it in salt water and soak it for I don't know how long, and it becomes so hard, in some cases, it's as hard as steel. And then they want that wood in various locations around the world. It's special to Guyana. Well, they had carved some pens out of that kind of wood. But one thing I got that I have on my desk in the office as a reminder to me is a mortar and a pestle. And it's saying that a fool put down in there along with grain and just ground and ground and ground and ground and ground still won't get the point and still won't admit he's wrong. And so from time to time, I'll just take a look at that and I'll ask myself, am I teachable? Will I admit when I'm wrong? Or am I like a fool? Though you bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him, because he's simply not teachable. So he just gets ground to powder. We must not be like that. Sixth point. An individual with a teachable attitude respects the teacher. They appreciate the instructor. You know, in some classes, they may not exactly like the instructor. And they may not know that much about that instructor. But they respect him or her. And they appreciate him or her because of what they know, because of their ability to convey that to the class, and because of the excellent teaching ability and concern they have for their students, and because of the way they're learning from that instructor. And besides that, they respect the office, and it is an office that the teacher is in. I think a really good, diligent teacher, it's like a gift to be able to take knowledge and dispense it to other people who will then learn it and profit from it. Not just anybody can be a teacher. And so they are to be respected and they are to be appreciated. I remember particularly in our middle school, we had a librarian named Mrs. Lucy B. Todd, and she had a very interesting library. And she lit the fire of so many students regarding a love of reading. And by the time I had finished that year in her library class, I had read, and this is no exaggeration, every autobiography in that library. You want to hear about some of them? Eli Whitney, Kit Carson, Buffalo Bill, Davy Crockett, Patrick Henry. Just go down the line. They were kind of orange books, and I mean, I read every word. And then she'd have us report, and she'd talk about them, and I just couldn't wait to get in that class. And I respected her so much. That's an individual that has a teachable attitude. Not sitting there saying, I disagree. They're not going to learn anything. Not going to learn a thing. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. Here's where respect for the teacher and the instructor starts. And it should continue all along through life. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. The fear of the eternal is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want to be taught, and they don't want to be instructed. Verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Pay attention to what your dad is teaching you and telling you. Learn from it. Respect him and respect it, the instruction. And forsake not the law of your mother. She lays down the law. Listen. Honor her. Respect her. Appreciate it. For they shall be an ornament of grace under your head and chains about your neck. You show me children that love and respect and honor their parents and view them as their teacher and view them as their instructor, and I'll show you children that are going to do well in life. They're going to do well in life. Not dig in their heels and begin to dispute and argue and quarrel and disagree and simply pay no attention. And then kind of tolerate their parents. They're missing out on blessings that would come their way if they respected their parents and appreciated their instructors, their mom and dad. That carries over later in life to other teachers and other instructors. And then it carries over to God and to the church and to the ministry. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Speaking of Jesus Christ here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Who did? Jesus Christ placed these men in these offices. It's government from the top down, and it's Christ doing. And why? What's it for in the church? Verse 12. For the perfecting or the equipping, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man or woman, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14. Why did God build his church and then establish his ministry? Well, we're reading right here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 that God established the ministry, and that ministry is to teach his people and to instruct his people. And his people are to respect and appreciate those teachers and instructors and learn from God through Christ and through his ministers. That's what it says right here, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15, speaking of the ministers which he put in those offices, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You can't do any of those things that we just read right here in Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 16, without a dedicated, loving, kind, diligent ministry established by God. So therefore, a teachable person will respect those ministers and respect that office. and respect and appreciate the instructions that God gives through Christ, through them, to the congregation. And therefore, because they are teachable, they're going to learn and they're going to grow. They come to services to fellowship. They come to services to keep the Sabbath, to worship God, to sing songs to God. But fundamentally, they come to services to be taught by God through His ministry. But it won't do any good whatsoever, and it will amount to nothing if we do not have a teachable attitude and if we don't respect those that are doing the teaching. But if we do have a teachable attitude and we do respect those that are doing the teaching because God is using them and He's appointed them and put them in that office, everything you read here is going to happen. We're going to make increase of the body under the edifying of itself in love, verse 16, Ephesians 4. Last point we'll have time to cover, point number 7. A teachable person puts into practice what they learn, and a cycle starts. And here's the cycle. A teachable person puts into practice what they learn, which means they learn even more. So the more we put into practice what we're taught, the more we're going to learn about what we're taught. I remember when I was learning about plumbing, and I had a master plumber. It's hard to get your master plumber's license. Let me tell you right now, a master plumber, you better respect them. A lot went into getting those licenses. And he would teach us things like, well, you know, here's an L, here's a T, here's soil pipe, this is oakum, this is the lead pot, that's the tamping tool. You want this much pressure on there when you let the water run into the fire sprinkling system. Here's how to sorter. You get the pipe ready and you put the fitting here and you touch it with the sorter and the heat pulls that sorter right down in there and you won't get a leak. And you hear all that? Okay, now I know. I got it. Ask me a question, I can give you the answer. But you know when I really learned how to do the plumbing? When I combined that instruction with going out and doing it, and I found some things that I hadn't thought of. And I found that when I did what I was told, it didn't turn out the way I was told it would turn out because I didn't quite do it the way I was told. So I had to learn to do it exactly the way I was told. Then it would turn out the way I was told it would turn out. To really, really learn and to internalize and to make a part of you the knowledge that you're being taught, we have to put into practice what we're taught. And a teachable person will do that. They won't just hear. They won't just listen. They won't just absorb. They then will go and put it into practice. And when they put it into practice, they're going to learn some things that they didn't learn just from instructions, if they're teachable. Let's turn to James chapter 4 and verse 17. James 4 and verse 17, you have to put into practice what you're taught. Otherwise, it's just entertainment. I'm not going to take time to turn there, but over in Ezekiel, God told Ezekiel, they'll come before you as my people. They will listen to you as one who plays well on an instrument, but they will not do what you say. It's entertainment. I've heard comments like, oh, I love to hear him speak. He's funny. Oh, I love to hear his sermons. He's really an interesting scholar. It's all entertainment, personalities. But how about putting to practice what we hear in the sermons? How about inculcating it into the way we live? That's the whole point. Isn't that what James is saying here in James chapter 4 and verse 17? Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. You know, brethren, we're held responsible for what we know. Now, you know some things from being here today that you didn't know before you came here today. You've heard some things you've heard before, but you've heard some things that you haven't heard before, and you've heard them put in a way you didn't hear before just by virtue of the fact this is the first time you've heard this sermon. But now you're held responsible for what you heard today, just like I'm held responsible for what I gave today. So now if we just sit and we listen and we leave and we say, that was really, I'm glad I went, but that's it. Look what it says here in James 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Now you're held responsible for what you know. That's how serious it is to come to services. We're going to be held responsible for what we're taught. Just like the one who taught it's going to be held responsible. One of the principles for Mr. Armstrong that is one of my favorites is the one where he would repeatedly say, knowledge is of no value unless applied. Knowledge is of no value unless applied. Knowledge is given to us so we then can put it to use. Not just walk around and say, I know. But walk around and say, I'm doing it with God's help. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29. A teachable person puts into practice what they learn. That's why they learned it in the first place, and that's why they were teachable. And look at the good results that come when that happens. Proverbs 22 and verse 29. Seest thou a man or a woman, is the meaning, diligent in his business? They're really diligent. They're really dependable. They're really very careful to carry out their responsibilities, to fulfill the requirements of the knowledge that they've been given. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men or obscure men. In other words, he or she, they're going to be successful. They're going to end up being in some really important places as far as getting things done for others and for God. And one day they're going to be in the presence of the King, Jesus Christ himself, because they practiced what they were told. They put into action the knowledge they were given. They were teachable. And so then that knowledge lodged in their thinking and in their character and flourished and emerged in fruit that is born and in actions that were taken. You'll find that in every case, a teachable person acts on what they were taught. Diligence, what we read right here, diligence goes hand in hand with a teachable attitude. And that goes hand in hand with success, both physically and spiritually. Let's notice Isaiah chapter 30. One of the wonderful things that we are taught in connection with the Feast of Tabernacles is our responsibilities in the kingdom of God. Kings, priests, and you know something else? Teachers. We're going to be teachers. Let's turn to Isaiah 30 and verse 20. You know what I found? Here's what I found. I found the very best teachers are the ones who were teachable. They were teachable. You show me a good teacher, and I'll bet you if you get to know him or you get to know her and you get to find out something about their background, you'll find out sooner or later they came to the point to where they were teachable. To be a good teacher, you got to be teachable first. If you're a lousy student and you are a rebellious individual who doesn't pay attention and who will not learn, how then will you be able to turn and be a teacher in the kingdom of God? You can't be. God has in mind tremendous responsibilities that he's going to give us once we're resurrected. Kings, priests, teachers. But he's got to see that teachable attitude there so that we learn. And then we can turn around and teach in the kingdom of God. If he doesn't see that teachable attitude there, we're not going to learn, and he can't give us the responsibility of teaching. And I know one thing. I think one of the most thrilling things he could give me to do is to be a teacher. I've always wanted to be. Wouldn't it be just tremendous in the kingdom of God for Jesus Christ to assign you the responsibility of teaching thousands of people who've never known the truth about God and his way of life, to assign you that responsibility of teaching them that, and you would go about doing it in a way where they would learn and they would internalize it and they would grasp it and they then would just latch onto it and love it, and God did it through you as their teacher? I think that would be very, very exciting. I think one of the most interesting things that can happen to a teacher is to have a classroom full of students and begin to dispense the knowledge and teach the subject and starting to see the lights go on in the class with each passing week. There may be some blank stares at first, and then there's a little bit more intense look. And first thing you know, you can almost see, bing, I got that. I want more. That's satisfying. That answered a question I've had for years. Now I know how to do that. I didn't know before because of what you taught me. Think of how thrilling that's going to be when it comes to teaching the truth of God to so many people who've never heard any of it, but now who want all they can get of it. Isaiah 30 and verse 20, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner any more, but your eyes shall see your teachers. They'll know us and we'll know them. We won't be just some blob shimmering away, talking from a distance, thou shall not do that. We won't be saying, go here, go there. That's not the way God taught either, nor Jesus Christ. But we'll be known by them, and we'll know them. Verse 21, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. Don't go that way, go this way. That's going to be trouble. This way here is going to be blessings. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. And then that little snapshot we see right here in Isaiah 30 is going to spread around the world. Let's read that. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. And verse 2. Don't let too much time go by that you don't read what I call world tomorrow passages in the Bible. Don't wait just until feast time. Read them in the hot July weather. Read them during the days of unleavened bread as well as about the days of unleavened bread. Read them anytime. Read them a lot. It says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. One of the things that we can do to seek the kingdom and his righteousness, read the passages and the prophecies about the kingdom and his righteousness. And here's one such passage, Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. It's talking about the government of God. Verse 3. And many people shall go and say, come you and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And look what happens. And he will teach us of his ways. Boy, what a teacher he must be. We want to go up there to learn from him and to learn of his ways. And we will walk in his paths. Now, they're going to have a teachable attitude, but they will. Now the whole world is going to have a teachable attitude, the kind hopefully we have right now. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem. Verse 4. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. And look at this. Neither shall they learn war any more. Anytime you read the various passages about the kingdom of God being established on this earth, you're going to find principles of teaching and principles of learning and principles of implementation of the knowledge that is given. And you're going to find a teachable attitude right at the center of it. And we need to have that now, and I think we do, but let's develop it further. Just to make sure that I spent enough time on a point for you to get it down, I want to review these 7 points that you will find in every individual who has a teachable attitude, and you can add to this list. Number one, that individual will want to learn. Number two, they will listen intently. Number three, a person with a teachable attitude will do their homework. Number four, they will ask good questions. Number five, they will admit when they are wrong, cheerfully. Number six, A person with a teachable attitude will always respect their teacher and appreciate their instructor. And number 7, a teachable person puts into practice what they learn. And as you and I understand and comprehend and agree with and appreciate these points and develop them to the maximum potential and add to them other points, we are then preparing for one of the highest responsibilities we can have in the kingdom of God, when the whole world will come to the point to where now they have teachable attitudes. And what will that responsibility be? Someone who Jesus Christ himself appoints to the responsibility of being a teacher.